today as we come to the table.
The enemy can open doors as well. I want you guys to be aware of that. That's why we have to be so aware to learn how to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I've seen the enemy open doors for me that if I was to go through that door, would have ruined my walk with the Lord. And maybe some of you have seen those doors open. Maybe some of you made that mistake and you're recovering from it. But either way, just because a door is open does not mean it's God. And also, just because a door is closed does not mean it's God. That's where we need discernment. Lord, did the door close because you want me to stop, or do you want me to keep fighting? Lord, did the door open because the enemy's doing this and trying to pull me away from you in the direction you would have me?
Life is full of decisions. Every day we have to decide what we want to eat, what clothes to wear, and those are just a couple of the choices we have to make. There's also plenty of big decisions in life: where to live, what career path to follow, who to marry. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark encourages you in this message today to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that you can know which way God is leading you. Not every option is pleasing to God, and sometimes the right choice is the most difficult one. The important thing is to ask God and allow Him to lead you. You never know, He may lead you in a direction you never expected. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 15. I want to read the first few verses before we pray to lay a foundation. Notice it says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit with Paul and his cohorts as they were traveling, God, and spreading the gospel. And God, I thank you for leading us by your Spirit. And there's many here today, right now, wanting to know, what is the leading of the Spirit? What is it that you're doing in my life, Lord? Where do you want me to go? And maybe even asking themselves those questions right now. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to go? And God, they need to hear from you. And so as we look at this today, God, I pray that you would give us further insight into what the leading of the Spirit is, and sometimes maybe even what it's not, and to learn how to wait, Lord, for that confirmation as we see what you did in Paul's life and those that were traveling with him. So God, open your word to us, be our teacher, and we look forward to what you have for us here in the book of Acts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so get into the leading of the Spirit, guys. This is a big deal for the church. Right now, it's a big deal for you, is it not? It's for all of us. You're thinking, I need to know what God wants me to do. Who doesn't want to know what God wants us to do? We all want to know that. And learning to be led by the Spirit and learning to hear the voice of the Spirit is so key and so huge in this, in the Christian life, really in every aspect of life. We need to be able to be in tune with the Lord. Now, I think oftentimes we think of being led by the Spirit as doors being opened. And that's true. God opens doors, and that's a leading of the Spirit. Because I want to say this, because we're going to see it today. God also closes doors. God closes doors. And there may be some doors you've tried to walk through that God's been closing lately, and you're going, Lord, what's going on? I really believe you called me this way. You know, God may have called you this way, but he may be closing the doors because now's not the time. Oftentimes, it's a timing issue. God may be closing doors because, no, it's not God. You're going your own direction, and you think it's God. I appreciated one brother that came to me the last service. He was saying, look, somebody's offered me a job that's paying me a lot more money. And he said, I really could use it. And it's a really huge advance. I'm not going to lie in my whole financial situation in life. He said, but my concern is I don't want it to take me farther away from God. I want to make sure it doesn't come in there and I put money in that place. And now I'm going after that. What a great heart. I'm like, that's the kind of heart we need to have. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where, you know what? Am I going to really do what I know is best in my walk with God and following the Holy Spirit? Or am I going to do what's best for this life? And by the way, on that side note, I will say this, the enemy can open doors as well. I want you guys to be aware of that. That's why we have to be so aware to learn how to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I have seen the enemy open doors for me that if I was to go through that door, it would have ruined my walk with the Lord. And maybe some of you have seen those doors open. Maybe some of you made that mistake and you're recovering from it. But either way, just because a door is open does not mean it's God. And also just because a door is closed does not mean it's God. That's where we need discernment. Lord, did the door close because you want me to stop or do you want me to keep fighting? Lord, did the door open because the enemy's doing this and trying to pull me away from you in the direction you would have me? So again, don't just look at things. As you grow in the Lord, don't just look at your circumstances on the surface. Look at them, pray about them, and wait on God. And then move forward, and God will direct you as you move forward. Again, you never want to sit still. We're going to see that Paul doesn't sit still. Even when he gets to closed doors, he doesn't sit still. A moving car is the only way to get somewhere. Okay, so if you just have the car parked because you're afraid you're going to go the wrong way, you're never going to go anywhere. But you want to get moving and you want to trust the Spirit of God and the peace of God. By the way, what is another way you can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit? You'll have peace. If you're facing some decision and you're going, is this God? Is it not God? And you can honestly say right now, I don't have peace. Guys, that's not God. The Bible says the wisdom of God is first peaceable. So you should have peace. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not going to do it. Oh, you mean God's not going to do this? And that? No, I'm not saying that. God may do it, but it may not be right now. God may be closing a door in Bithynia to send you to trials. He may close a door in trials to send you to Philippi. We're going to get into that in a moment. You get my point. God knows what he's doing. God has the timing down. We're simply to move forward and pray and let God lead us and learn to understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that today and realize that God redirects oftentimes. He not only leads us and closes doors, he redirects oftentimes. And over the years, I've learned there's times where I felt very confident God was leading in a certain direction, and I found out I was wrong. But I've had to learn how to pray and wait on God. And then there's other times I thought God was leading in a direction and found that I was right, but there was some type of delay that God was doing because it wasn't the right time. And so this is where we have to be patient and we have to pray. And I wish God would just kind of shout it out. I wish you just kind of, here's what you're supposed to do, Martin. Now go do it, dummy. I wouldn't even care if he called me dummy. As if it's loud enough for me to hear, I am a dummy. Just tell me. I want to know, right? I would love that. But it doesn't work that way, does it? And you wonder, why does God do that? I think that God wants us to learn to spend time with him and learn to hear his voice. Sometimes when it's loud, sometimes when it's a still, small voice. Either way, to know that it's him. And then the second layer, even when we feel we've heard a voice, to learn to pray and have a confirmation. And one of the things we're going to see about this, even, you know, today, we're going to see that God gives Paul a confirmation eventually in the direction that he wants him to go. He shows him and confirms, this is what I want you to do. And don't be afraid to wait on that confirmation. Again, I'm not talking about sitting back and doing nothing. We need to be serving. But as we're serving, we're waiting on confirmation from the Lord. You know, when you're reading the Psalms and it says, I wait on the Lord, I wait on the Lord, I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord. That word wait there does not mean sit back and do nothing. It actually is a picture of being active while waiting for direction. Note that the word means being active while waiting on specific direction. And so when God says wait on the Lord, yeah, we wait on the Lord, but that means we're still involved in ministry. We're still involved in serving. And now we're saying, God, as I'm serving, what direction do you want me to go? And this may be the thing that sets some of you free. So many people ask me, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what my call is? Well, first of all, start the car and start driving. Because if you sit in the driveway, you're not going to ever find out. So start the car, start driving, and then pray. And say, God, you show me, right? And this kind of thing. And then God will lead you. And if there's a stop sign, you're going to see it. If there's a yield, you're going to see that. If there's a, you know, whatever the case might be, you're going to do that. So this is exactly what God's going to do with Paul. And it's exactly what God does with us. He doesn't always tell us clearly the first time because I think there's a couple of reasons. He wants to train us to learn to hear his voice. He wants to train us to dig deeper to make sure we have that confirmation. And another thing the Lord wants us to do is to be flexible so that our plans don't override his. Now, look, are we flexible enough, even though we feel God sent us in a direction, are we flexible enough to say, you know what, God, if you want to send me on a detour, you can do that. You're the Lord. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's what we have to do. We say, yes, God, here's what I'm heading that direction. I think this is your leading, but God, you're the one that's going to direct the steps, and you're the one that's going to open the door and make that happen. And so God wants to learn, not only us to learn how to allow him to lead, but also to be able to change at a moment's notice. And we're going to see that Paul had that kind of heart. Now, where we left off last time, remember they picked up Timothy. They had started their second missionary journey, but they started again from Antioch. That's where the whole division happened. Remember with Paul and Barnabas, where they split up and went their separate directions. So they're going now. So Paul and Silas are heading up, if you will, going up toward, as we saw last time, Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and all that, and going to keep heading. And that's where we're going to take up today. He picks up Timothy along the way, remember. And so we're going to see that Timothy's now a part of this. So there's three of them. There's Paul, there's Silas, and there's Timothy as they're doing this journey. And that's, again, where we take up starting in verse 6. And notice what it says. And when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That word forbidden is a strong word. It means God just slammed the door shut. God says, you're not going that way. Now think about that. This is a shocking verse, because here these men are filled with the Spirit, going out in the name of the Lord, spreading the gospel. They go the direction they believe God is sending them. And God says, no, I'm not sending you that way. Stop. And the first thing I want to note is we have to have enough humility to realize we may think it's God and it's not God. You may have something right now you're wanting so badly and you're pushing so hard. You've been trying so hard and it's just not happening. The doors have been shut, but you're still trying to ram those doors in. Now, again, I'm not talking about fighting through opposition. There's a time to fight through opposition, and God will let you know that. But there's also a time where God says, this isn't opposition, this is me. It reminds me of Balaam, you know, and he's riding the donkey, you know, and the donkey keeps, you know, stopping, you know, all this because the angel of the Lord is there in front of him, and finally gets to where he goes to this real skinny place, and he's banging back and forth on the wall just trying to get by, and he's actually, you know, beating his donkey. His donkey starts talking to him. You guys know the story. It was God. Then he sees the angel of the Lord. He goes, that's me. It wasn't your donkey. Your donkey's being faithful. You're the one not being faithful. Balaam, he said, I'm the one stopping you from doing this. So God may be saying to some of you guys, you know, stop and don't do that. And you need to be able to listen and let God do that. Now, I think about Paul, and Paul was so driven. Can you imagine what did it take for Paul to hear, don't do this? Number one, it tells us that sometimes God says, don't share with those people. It says sometimes God will block us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to reach those people. Don't get me wrong. But it might be that now's not the time, or it might be you're not the person. Maybe you're the wrong personality to meet that kind of person that's going to share the gospel, and God's going to send someone else. I think about family members. You know how hard it is to reach family. I pray for God to bring other people to my family. God, bring other people, somebody they'll listen to, right? And so oftentimes God says, I want those people reached, but I don't want you to do it. Or maybe now's not the time because it's not the appropriate moment or whatever the case might be. And so that's, again, I believe in general, we're always to be preaching the gospel. Always preaching the gospel. Every time you have a chance, look for opportunities to share the gospel. But when you hear the Spirit saying no, then we need to know how to put the brakes on. And it's interesting, I think about Paul. How loud did this no have to be? I mean, Paul didn't stop for anything. You know, Paul's the one that was going down there to Jerusalem to share with the Jews in Jerusalem. And everywhere he went, he said the Holy Spirit was bearing witness that he was going to be thrown into prison and have all these troubles and have opposition. And he's like, you know, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit told him he couldn't do it. The Holy Spirit was just warning him what would happen if he did and allowed him to make that choice. And he kept going down that path. And sure enough, we know what happened. He ended up that way. And God used it all and got into Rome where he wanted him to be and share the gospel and all that. We know that. But the reality is you didn't just tell Paul no and Paul stop. He wasn't that kind of guy. So what happened here? What did God do? You know, some believe that this is where he got his thorn in the flesh. That maybe somewhere in these travels where he was trying to go through, God just boom, hit him and he had to stop and he had no choice. And while he was kind of in downtime dealing with this thorn, you know, then God's redirecting him somewhere else. I don't know, maybe possibly, that could be a thing. But again, I want to bring this up to some of us because sometimes I think, and I'm no doubt Paul was probably frustrated, but I think Paul recognized the Lord. And I'm sure that Paul understood that God was the one directing him and he wanted to follow God's direction. But I think this is a place of maturity that we need to grow to recognize when God is slowing us down or stopping us, to trust that God has our best at heart, that God has a plan. You know, again, sometimes I get this thought. The other day, I forget if it was a traffic jam or what it was. And you know, sometimes it can be a flat tire or whatever the case might be. And we're so frustrated. You know, we have our to-do list. We have these things we've got to get done. And this has to happen. And that, whatever. And all of a sudden, it gets shut down by things that we can't control. And we get frustrated. Okay, that's human nature. I get it. But guys, I wonder how often, and in the believer's life, if God truly controls everything, is God not the one allowing that to happen? I wonder how often God puts roadblocks in our way because he's got someone that he's going to divert us to share the gospel. Or maybe God's protecting us from something where we can find harm. Again, it's interesting that they traveled through Galatia and the Holy Spirit's now beginning to forbid them in areas around there. Galatia was known to be a very rough area. They were very violent people, very rough people. And so maybe they would have gotten hurt if they'd have gone there. Maybe Paul would have been killed a second time if he'd have gone there. Remember, he was already stoned to death once. And, you know, I don't want you to get killed again, Paul. So I'm going to send you a different direction. I don't know what was going on, but God knows. And my point in that is, you know, trust the Lord when those things happen. When you get re-diverted, when things take place that frustrate you, that flat tire, that traffic jam, whatever the case might be, realize God may be doing something and sparing you in some huge way that you don't even know. You get to heaven and find out, man, I was really complaining about it. God was going, roll the film, you know. Here's what would have happened. Wow. That's okay. Thank you for that flat tire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the traffic jam, right? Gives you a different perspective, doesn't it? So either way, Paul recognized the Lord's in this, no doubt. And I don't know whether or not, again, did God, we know the main reason God gave Paul this thorn in the flesh is because he said it was to keep him humble. So God allowed that. God gave it to him to keep him humble. But, you know, you also wonder, is that what it took to keep Paul from maybe going a direction he wanted to go? Did God say, you know what, I know, Paul, I'm going to have to add a little bit more oomph to this to keep him from doing it. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, I can't believe it. I was sick and in bed for 3 weeks and I was that downtime or whatever. But God really ministered to me during that time. And sometimes God has to get our attention and the only way he knows how to do it. And so we have to look for God in everything and learn to follow the Spirit here. And again, this is what they're doing. They can't go in there. He's forbidden, whatever the reason was, we don't know. But he's forbidden to preach the word there in Asia. The Holy Spirit shutting doors rather than opening them there, which is interesting. And notice verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them there either. Look at that. Didn't let them go in there. Right? You can't go into Bithynia. And they got to be thinking, well, what gives? Everywhere we go, God's shutting down doors and blocking us, redirecting us other ways. I mean, I know these were mature men. They're praying, trusting God. God, you're doing this. But again, I look at the meaning of the word Bithynia, and sometimes the Holy Spirit gives insight into the names of things in Scripture. Bithynia means a violent rushing. And you wonder, would he have gone into an area where they would have violently rushed him again and put him to death and all his companions or whatever, or hurt them in some horrible way that would have hindered the spreading of the gospel further? Again, so you see the need here to be in tune with the Spirit and to say, all right, God, I'm sensing this is something you want me to change here and something that you want me to do or not do. And by the way, people always talk about when you feel like you're in a situation that might be dangerous, to trust that voice. You know, maybe you're somewhere and something doesn't seem right. A lot of times the Holy Spirit may be giving us a clue saying, this is probably time for you to move on or whatever. Not to live by fear. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about feelings of fear, but maybe warnings or whatever. So I think learning to be in tune with the Spirit can be a very wise thing as well. God's more than able to protect us. But again, God will also redirect us in the midst of that protection. So for whatever the reason here, they couldn't go into Bithynia. And notice verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so now we see God's going to give direction. I think how frustrating it was, getting blocked. And, you know, what's going on, Lord? And now God comes and God speaks very clearly. No doubt Paul is crying out to the Lord, saying, God, tell me, what's going on? What is it that you want me to do? And I don't want to add my emotion to Paul. I know Paul was, you know, being reverent and respectful to the Lord, you know. But again, there's no doubt that kind of, okay, what is it, Lord? What do you want me to do? And then God gives him a vision. Here's the point. God may not give you a vision, but God will, if you wait on the Lord, and you seek him with all your heart, and you're wondering what it is that he wants you to do, and you're moving forward. Notice Paul didn't stop. He kept moving forward. If you do that, God will eventually speak to you and let you know what it is he wants you to do. God will reveal it. Again, it may not be by vision, but it might be. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says in the last days that God's going to be using dreams and visions. And God said, you know, your old man will dream dreams. Well, I'm glad. I'm not dreaming any yet. So maybe I'm not quite classified as old. I don't know. Probably depending on where you're coming from, I may be. But either way, you may be young wherever you're coming from. But God may speak to you in a dream. God may speak to you in a vision. That's going to be happening more in the last days. So understand that. Don't be afraid of that. God may do it. Now, he may not. He usually works very naturally in supernatural ways. That's how God works. It's supernatural. What happens very naturally. But there's times where God says, no, I'm going to speak in a very powerful and supernatural way. And so God does that. So we need to be open to that. Now, be careful on the dream thing. There's a lot of people that write these dream interpretation books, and they give, look, here's what this means, here's what that means. That's not how it works in the Bible. You can't do that. God will give a dream, and then God will give another dream to confirm it if it's from him, and God will make it clear to you what it means. He'll reveal that to you in some form and fashion. But don't get into these book formulas of dreams, because that can really get weird and send you down a wrong direction. If God's going to give you a dream, you look in Scripture. When God gave Joseph and Mary, when he gave Joseph the dreams, he gave more than one dream. He gave clear direction. When God gave Joseph, the other Joseph, in the Old Testament dreams, God gave more than one dream. And he gave clear direction and gave it with Daniel. God gave more than one dream or vision, and God gave the interpretation. So understand, God doesn't just throw one thing out there. He will confirm it, and he'll show you what he means and what he's doing. God, if he's going to use that, he's going to make sure you know what he means, so you can relax in that. But we need to be open to that in case God wants to do that, but not necessarily waiting on a vision for God's direction all the time, but knowing that God can use visions and God will use visions. Tracy showed me the testimony of this. There was this Jewish man who's now a saved Jew, a rabbi, messianic rabbi, if you will. And the way he got saved, his testimony was amazing. He grew up non-Orthodox. You know, they were Jewish and he knew all the Jewish things, but not really a real observer, if you will. Got married. Neither of them knew the Lord. And they were going to take a trip together. And somebody said, you need to go to Israel. He's like, I don't want to go to Israel. You know, it's like, there's nothing there for me in Israel. And he said he ran to somebody else just a little bit later, a few days later. You need to go to Israel. He thought, well, that's weird. Two people in 1 week or whatever telling me I need to go to Israel. So we're going to take a trip. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go stop by Israel. I don't really want to go, but we'll do it. And then from there, we're going to go and spend a week in the Greek Isles, you know, and we'll get something really nice there, that kind of thing, and kind of just look at Israel, because maybe we're supposed to do it. I don't know why, but we'll do that. So they fly over there, and they're there almost about to leave. They have 1 day left, and he felt he was supposed to go to the northern part of Israel, to Mount Tabor, which overlooks the Armageddon Valley there, the Valley of Megiddo. He goes up to Mount Tabor, and he said, as clear as day, when he got to the top of Mount Tabor, he heard a voice say, come away with me and pray. And I don't remember his exact words, but something like that. So he walked over there to pray, and he said the moment he got over there, he said God gave him a vision. He said it's like just like a biblical vision. He said he literally just kind of went into a trance, and the Lord came to him, and he said just like described in Revelation, and he said all he did was come up and touch him and say, I love you. That's all he said. No other message, nothing else. And he said the vision ended, and he broke down weeping in tears, gave his life. He realized that was Yeshua, the Messiah. And he was shocked, you know, again, as any Jew would be when they realized Jesus truly is their Messiah, gave his life to the Lord. His wife ended up getting saved, and now he's serving the Lord. So this stuff still happens. And again, when you hear his testimony, it's very believable. I don't think he's writing books and trying to make money off of it. You can just see God, when he decides to call us, he decides to call, and God can use a vision. And in Paul's situation, he'd already, you know, shown himself to Paul multiple times in other ways. So this would have been nothing really new for Paul, but it'd be new for us. But don't be close to that kind of thing. God can show that. And so he gets this vision here, and the man says, come down to Macedonia and help us. Now, it's interesting. This is where the gospel moves into Europe. This is that crossover. When it crosses over, moves into Macedonia, the gospel now goes into Europe. And we're going to be introduced to a lady named Lydia here in just a moment. We're going to see more of that area and what happens in that area. But Lydia is going to be the one that gets saved here and ends up having a home church there that spreads the gospel in all of Europe. It's just amazing to see this. I mean, that's why we have the gospel today, because it spread to Europe. And of course, our forefathers were saved, and then we came to America and founded America on Judeo-Christian ethic.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Acts, here on Come to the Table. Acts is a powerful account of how the gospel spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth through the work of the apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that God equips ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they step out in faith. Just as the early church faced challenges and opposition, we too can trust that God is in control and will guide us through every season. If you want to experience this kind of faith and boldness, it starts with trusting in Jesus. If you have questions about what that means, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you join our community. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more valuable insights from the book of Acts. So join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.